Shalom to all. And today's Afri Mishnah is where we're learning Masechas Arachin, Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph, all the way through Perek Hey Mishnah Vav. And Mishnah Aleph tells us Yesh Barachin Lohakel Ula Hachmir. There's something with Arachin that's a Kula and a Chumra. Now, once we're on this concept of having something that's a Kula and a Chumra, we move on to discuss other things as well. Besedei Achuza Lohakel Ula Hachmir. A Sedei Achuza is an ancestral piece of land that a person received from his father, got from his father, all the way at the beginning of coming into Eretz Yisrael. So there's something with that. There's a Kula and a Chumra. And Beshar Hamuad Shehem Soeved Lohakel Ula Hachmir with a Shar Hamuad, an ox, which is known to gore, and if it kills an eved, there's a kula and a chumra in that. Also, ba'anus mufato, ma'itzi shemra la'akula hachmir. With these three things that have to do with women, we'll discuss as we get to it in Mishnah. There's also kula and a chumra. So, explain the first one, yesh barachin la'akil ul hachmir ketzad. What does it mean with arachin that there's a kula and a chumra? So, echad she'erich es ha'noi shebisrael v'sakar shebisrael. If somebody made an erich nader, it could be somebody who's very handsome, tall, and strong and fit, or somebody kar, somebody repulsive, and they're very weak and sickly. It doesn't make a difference. Noisad chamishim sela. He gives the same 50 selah, because as we mentioned multiple times, the Torah says that there's a certain value per age and gender of the person, so it doesn't make a difference how big and strong or sickly and gaunt they are. It's the same 50 selah. However, Rim Amar Hare Dama Valai, if the fellow said, that person's value is on me, his worth, how much he'd be sold on the slave market for, so then nice and a shavyoi, he pays whatever the fellow's value is. Onto Mishnah Beis, B'stei Achuza L'Haku L'Hachmer Ketzad, what's the situation with Stei Achuza, that it's a kula and a chumra? So the Torah tells us about a Stei Achuza, that if a person was Makdesh, he donated his Stei Achuza to the Beis HaMikdash, and now he wants to redeem it, there's a set value of how much he redeems it for. And that's what Mishnah tells us. Echad Makdesh B'chaz HaMachaz, whether he was Makdesh to Stei Achuza on the outskirts of the city, which is not worth very much money, because lots of people are always walking there and trampling it, so it's not valued at so much. Echad Makdesh B'pardesoy Sebasti, or if he was Makdesh his orchard in Sebasti area, which is very expensive, very prized piece of property, it doesn't make a difference. Noisin B'zera Chaymer Sa'irim Chamishim Shekel Kasef, for every area that he can plant a Chaymer's worth of barley seed, that's what it means, Zera Chaymer Sa'irim, he pays 50 shekel kesef, and that's it. So it turns out to be a cooler chumra, depending on how valuable the piece of property is. However, b'stei mikna, when it comes to stei mikna, which is just a piece of property a fellow bought, it's not a stei achuza, and he donated that to the Beis HaMikdash, so noisin eshavyoi, he pays its value, however much it's worth, that's how much he redeems it for. Now, Rabbi Lezer says that no, echad stei achuza, v'echad stei mikna, it doesn't make a difference what type of field it is, it's redeeming the set value. So ma bein stei achuza, stei mikna, what's the difference between these two fields? Elosh, b'stei achuza, noisin chaymesh, b'stei mikna, einu noisin chaymesh. When he's redeeming his stei achuza from the Beis HaMikdash, he has to add on a fifth of the payment, whereas when he's redeeming his stei mikna, he doesn't have to add on a fifth. And Mishnah Gimel tells us, b'shar mu shemus evad l'hakel l'hachmir ketzad. This goes back to Mishnah Aleph, which I mentioned a number of different cases that are both l'hakel u'l'hachmir. It turns out to be a kula and a chumra. So this example of a shar mu shemus evad, this has to do with a shar muad, which is an ox that's known to be wild and gore people, and it actually killed an evad. What's the story? Echad shemus anoa shabavadim v'sakar shabavadim. It doesn't make difference if it killed the most handsome, strong, sturdy evad, or the most repulsive, sick, gauntly one, nice and shleshim selah. The owner of that shar has to pay 30 selah to the owner of the evad that was killed, and that's much money stipulated in the Torah. Nahim has been chayrin, if he killed just a regular person, a free man, nice and a shavyai, so then the owner of the shar has to pay the value of that person. And also, chaval b'zeh, if it damaged this one or that one, mishalem nezek shalim, the owner has to pay full damages. So the only set amount is if he killed an evad. On to Mishnah Dalad, ba'anis mufata l'hakul hachmer ketzad. What's the situation? This is when a man either violates or seduces a young woman. What's the case of l'hakul hachmer? So echad she'anus u'pita sagdol shebakahuna. It could be that he did this to a woman who's from greatest family of kaihanim, so she's from an extremely chashev family, or basaktana shebisrael. It could be from the least chashev family amongst the yidden. Noisa chamishim selah. He has to pay 50 selah. However, v'apashis v'apagam, in terms of the embarrassment that was caused to the woman and the damage, hakol if yamivayesh v'amizbayesh, everything is according to the one who does the embarrassing and the one who got embarrassed. The less chashev of a person who does embarrassing, the more embarrassing it is, and the more chashev of a person who gets embarrassed, that's more embarrassing, so those payments would depend. And we continue with the last of the things mentioned in Mishnah Aleph, that there are certain things that we have that are l'hakel u'l'hachmir, sometimes it's a kula, sometimes it's a chumra. So mitzi shemra l'hakel u'l'hachmir ketzad, what's the case of mitzi shemra? They could be both a kula and a chumra. Now mitzi shemra, the pasuk tells us, is when a man gets married and then he's mitzi shemra about his wife, he says something bad about his wife, that she actually was with a man previously and she wasn't fresh for him. So what's the case of l'hakel u'l'hachmir? Mishnah tells us, echad she'isi shemra al gadol shebakuna v'aktana shebisrael. It doesn't make a difference if he's mitzi shemra on one of the greatest families of kuna or on one of the most smallest and insignificant families among just regular yidden. Noisin ma'asela, either which way, he has to have 100 sela knas, as the Torah says. Now the Mishnah concludes with telling us, nimtza oimer befiv yasser min oisa ma'ase. Turns out that when somebody says something with their mouth, that's way worse and more and strict than if a person does a deed. Because in the previous Mishnah, when we spoke about oinus mufata, when a person actually does a deed, the knas is only 50. But over here, he didn't even do anything. All he did was say something. He was Maisi Shemra, and he has to pay 100. And where do we see the Shekin Motsinu, Shaloi Nechlem Gzar Din Alvisinu Midbar, El Lashon Hara? The whole Gzar Din, the whole decree against our forefathers in Midbar that they had to sojourn for 40 years and they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael right away was because of Lashon Hara. Shemra, the Pasuk says, V'inasu Isi Zeh Asar Pa'amim, V'loi Shom B'Kaili, and they tested me this 10 times. They didn't listen to me. As we see from here, that even though the Yidden tested Hashem multiple times, their Gzar Din was Nechtam, their decree was signed and sealed that they're not going into Eretz Yisrael only because of Lashon Hara that was spoken against Eretz Yisrael. And moving on to Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, we have a number of different klalim, a number of different rules. So we begin, Heseg Yad Banoider. We had already mentioned this din of Heseg Yad, namely when a person makes a neder of Erech and he can't afford it, so we judge him by Heseg Yad, by how much money he could afford. So that's based off of the neder, the one who made the neder, not regarding the one who it was made on. Rule number two, Vehashanim Banidar. When we want to see how much money the person has to pay, and as we've already said before, that has to do with how old they are, so that's with the nidar, the one who had the nether made on them. So even a young person says about an old person, or old person about a young person, who have different values, if they said, Erech that person on me, we look at that person and not the one who's making the nether. Rule number four, v'arachim, in regards to how much money it's going to be, namely, are we going based off of a female or male? So by nerach, that's the one who had it made on him. So if a man says about a woman, or a woman says about a man, Erech that person on me, so we just look at the person who had the Erech made on them, male or female, and again, that's going to be a different amount of money. And lastly, v'ha'erech bizman ha'erech. In regards to the one who made the neder, it has to do with when they made that neder. So if a person says, Erchi Olai, my value is on me, I'm going to give my own value, and he's under 20 years old when he said that, and by the time he gets around to actually paying it, he's older than 20, which is a different cost, it's a different value. We do it based off of when he made the neder, not when he's actually paying it. So now we explain the first thing in the Mishnah, Heseg Yad B'Neider Ketzad. What's the situation of Heseg Yad by the neder? So Ani Sharech HaSa'ashir, if a poor person said that he's going to give the Erech of a rich person, Noisin Erech Ani, so he gives the erech of an ani. In other words, if he can't afford it, even though the person who he made the neder about is able to afford it, that doesn't make a difference. The one who made the neder can't afford it, so we judge him and we decide how much he could afford. The other way around as well is va'asher sharech as a ani. If a wealthy person was marich an ani, he said erech that ani on me, nice and erech asher, he has to give the erech of an asher. Even though the ani himself is not able to afford anything, that doesn't make a difference. Who's the one that said the lashon of erech? A wealthy person. So the wealthy fellow has to pay up everything. Now, the previous Mishnah, we discussed Heseg Yad by Arachin, which again meant if the person who made the Erech Neder can't afford it, so we just evaluate him for how much he could afford it. That's Lashon of Heseg Yad. And therefore, said the Mishnah, if somebody who was poor was Marich, somebody who was rich, even though the rich fellow could afford it, that doesn't make a difference. Who made the Neder? The poor fellow. So we judge him based off of how much he could afford. Says Mishnah Beis, Aval Karbonos Einoi Kein. This concept of Heseg Yad by Karbonos, this idea of Heseg Yad by Karbonos, is not the same. It's different. We know that Heseg Yad by Karbonos does exist, such as by a carbon of Metzora, when a person becomes Tahar from his Tzaras, he has to bring a number of carbonos, two of them being a Chatos and a Oila. Now, if he could afford it, so his Chatos has to be a female sheep, and his Oila is a male sheep. However, if he cannot afford it, Ein Yodoy Maseges, he doesn't have Heseg Yad, he doesn't have enough money, so then he just brings two birds. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Harisha Amar, if a person says, Carbonos Shal Metzora Ze Olai, the carbon of that Metzora, that fellow who's a Metzora, he's bringing carbonos, I take upon myself to bring his carbonos. So Imahi Metzora Ani, if that Metzora was an Ani, and he's only bringing birds, maybe carbon ani. So then this fellow, it has to bring two birds. Whereas Ashir, if that Mitzayra was wealthy, maybe carbon Ashir. So he brings a carbon of an Ashir. Now Rebbe clarifies that Oimrani, I say, Af Barachin Kain, we can even have a similar case with Arachin. Because why is it that we said in the previous Mishnah that an ani, who is Marech, a rich person, only gives as much as he, the ani, could afford? That's because She'ein Ashir Chayv Klom. The wealthy fellow is not Chayv anything. Somebody simply made a neder about him, but he's not chayv anything, so therefore we look at the fellow who made the neder, who's poor, and he only gives what he could afford. Aval, however, says Rebbe, ha'ashir sha'amar erki olai, if a rich person said, I take my value upon myself, v'shama ani, and a poor fellow heard this, va'amar, and he said, masha amar ze olai, whatever that guy said, I take it upon myself. So nois an erech ashir, he has to give the erech of the ashir. Now again, even though we know in the Torah, the erech of the person is the same, they could both be the same exact age, and according to the Torah, they have to give the same amount of money, but since the poor fellow said, I'm going to give whatever that guy's giving. So since the rich fellow has to pay the full amount, the poor fellow has to pay the full amount as well. Now we continue discussing Arachin. Haya ani veheshir, oy ashir veheni. Let's say at the time of the Erech, he was poor and then he became wealthy, or he was wealthy and then he became poor. Nice an Erech Asher, he has to give that which an Asher would give. That's because according to this Tana, we look at both situations, not only when he made the nether, but also when he's paying up for the nether. And if at either time he was wealthy, so he has to give how much a wealthy person would give. And Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, Afilu ani veheshir vechazer veheni, even if he was poor when he made the nether, then he became wealthy in the interim, and then he became poor again before he actually paid it up. Nonetheless, nice and Erech Asher, he has to pay how much a wealthy person would give, and that's based off of a drasha on the pasuk. Now moving on to Mishnah Gimel, we continue. Avol b'karbanis einay kein. With karbanis, it's not like this. Afilu aviv meis v'niach le'ribay. Even when a person's father died and left him over 10,000, that's 10,000 mana, and that's a lot of money. Or sfinasa bayam, he has a ship out at sea which he had rented out to somebody. Ubo b'ribayis, and then it came with a lot, meaning now that the person docked, they owe him the money for the rental. In lehektish bahen klum, hektish doesn't have anything in them, meaning when a person's chai of a karbon, if at the time he was chai of the karbon, he was poor, it doesn't make a difference if later he became extremely wealthy, since when he was chai of the karbon, he's poor, so that's what he gives, the karbon that a poor person would bring. And now we continue explaining the different klalim, the general rules that we discussed in Mishnah Aleph. So here's rule number two, shanim banidar ketzad. What does that mean? Years are based off of the nidar, the one who had the nether made about him. So yalech erech hazaken, somebody who's younger, that was marach an older person, and they're in two different age brackets, noisen erech zaken, the person gives the erech of the older person, and zaken erech hazayaled, an older person that was marach a younger one, noisen erech yaled, he gives the erech of the younger person. On to the next rule, v'arachim banerach ketzad, what does that mean? Arachim are about the nerach, so ish erech hazaisha, noisen erech isha, if a man was marach a woman, so he gives the value the Torah gives for the woman. I mean, isha sharicha sa'ish, if a woman was marach a man, noisen erech ish, she gives the value of the man's erech that stayed in the Torah. And lastly, the fourth rule was, erech b'zman ha'erech ketzad, what does that mean? The erech at the time of the erech? Let's say, for example, haricha pachas ben chamesh, a person was marach somebody else who was younger than 5 years old. He said, erech that three-year-old on me, v'nasa yosra ben chamesh, and now the person became older than five and the person hadn't yet paid up, or pachas ben esrim, v'nasa yosra ben esrim, he made this nether on somebody who was younger than 20 and now the person is older than 20, noisen k'zman ha'erech, he gives based off of how much the person was at the time that he made the nether. Now the Torah teaches that the youngest age we can be marich somebody is 30 days old. But what about day 30 itself? So yom shloishim, if a child is 30 days old, kilamat mimenu, that's like below it, it's like he's younger than 30 and there's no erech whatsoever. So if a person says, erech, that 30-day-old baby on me, he's not chayiv anything. The baby actually has to be 31 days old. Now similarly, says Mishnah, shnas chamesh ushnas esrim kilamat mimenu, the fifth year of a person's life or the 20th year of a person's life, dahinu, the person's 4 years old, that means they already completed 4 years old and they're currently in their fifth year, or they're 19, that means they completed 19 years of their life and they're in their 20th year. So kilamata mimenu, that's like below it, it means that they're younger than 5 or they're younger than 20. How do we know this? Because the pasuk says, v'imi ben shishim shana v'mala im zachar, if the person's 60 years and up, if he's a male, he has to give X amount of money. Now re'on ulmeidim b'kula mishnas shishim, we learn all of these from year 60. What does that mean? Mashnas shishim kilamata mimenu, just like a person's 60th year, which means he's 59 years old and he's in his 60th year of life. It's considered younger than 60. That's because the pasuk clearly tells us, mi ben shishim v'mala, he has to be above 60. So afshnas chamish shishnas esrim kilamata mimenu. So too, the fifth year of a person's life and the 20th year of a person's life, that's like below it. It's like they're younger than 5 and younger than 20. However, the Mishnah asks on this, and now the Mishnah is actually beginning to sound a little bit like a Gemara. Hain, is this really so? Are we able to make such a comparison? Im also shnas shishim kilamata mimenu lahachmir. If you want to say the year 60 is considered below it, that turns out to be a chumrah, because the value of somebody who's between 20 and 60 is actually more than somebody who's above 60. But nasa shnas chamesh shnas esrim kilamata mimenu lahakel, are you going to say that somebody who's 5 or 20, they're below that, meaning they're still younger than 5 and they're still younger than 20? Well, that turns out to be a kula, because somebody who's younger than 5 and younger than 20 has less of an erech than somebody who's older than 5 and older than 20. So how could you learn 5 and 20 from 60? And the answer to this is, you're right, Talmud Loimar, we actually have to darshan it from a pasuk. Shana, shana, l'gzera shava. We have a classic thing that's called l'gzera shava. We have one word, shana, that's said by shishim, and we have another word, shana, that's said by 5 and 20. And what's the comparison? Ma shana mur b'shnas shishim kilamata mimenu. Just like it's very clear from the pasuk, as we explained before, that the word shana that's stated by 60 is below it, it's considered younger than 60. Af shana mur b'shnas chamesh u'shnas esrim kilamata mimenu. So too, the word shana by 5 and 20 is also considered younger than it, bein l'hakel bein l'hachmer, whether it comes out to be a cooler or a chumra. And now the Mishnah concludes with a totally different shita. Rabbi Lazar says, I statue Yaseiris al Shanim Chaydash V'yayim Echad. In order to consider a person the age that you would have to give that Erech, he has to be that year and then a month and a day. And that's because he learns from Pidyon HaBen, a 30-day-old firstborn male has to be redeemed by the Kayin. However, he can't just be 30 days old, he has to be 30 days and a little bit. So it's the same thing. Once a person enters the year that's mentioned by the Torah, he has to live another month and a little bit into it in order to be able to say that he's reached that age, and then we'd be chayv that erech the Torah gives. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar. And on to Parakei Mishnah Aleph, continue to discuss a person donating some sort of value to the Beis HaMikdash. However, this does not have to do with a set value in erech. Here the Mishnah tells us, ha'ayim mishkali olai, if a person says, my weight is on me, meaning I'm going to give my weight to the Beis HaMikdash. Nice mishkali, he has to give his weight. The question is, what type of currency? And the answer is, im kesef kesef im zav zav. It depends what he said. If he said, I'm going to give my weight in silver, so he has to give his weight in silver. If he says he's going to give his weight in gold, he gives his weight in gold. And let's say he didn't say anything, he simply said mishkali olai, then he could give the least amount that's normally weighed in that area. So let's say, for example, they'll also weigh things in copper or even in a cheaper metal than that, so he could get away with that. He doesn't have to use silver or gold. But that's only with a regular person. If it's somebody wealthy, then they would have to give a higher amount. And here's an example of this. Ma'aseh be'imashel Yermatia, there was a story with the mother of Yermatia. Yermatia was the daughter's name. Amr, the mother, had said, mishkal biti olai, the weight of my daughter is on me, I'm going to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, but also the Yerushalayim. She went up to Yerushalayim, Ushkalua, and she weighed her daughter, Vinasna Mishkala Zahav, and she gave her weight in gold, and that's because she was wonderfully wealthy, and even though she didn't say what she's going to give, she didn't say, the weight of my daughter on me is in gold, she just said, I'm going to give the weight of my daughter, nonetheless, she gave it in gold, because that was her social standing, and how much money she had in the account. Now, here we have a different discussion. Let's say a person says, Mishkal Yadi Olai, the weight of my hand is on me. Now, the question is, how much does his hand weigh? We might know how much his body weighs, but what about his hand? So Rabbi Yehuda just says, here's an easy way to determine it. Mamali chavez mayim, fill up a barrel full of water, umachnisa amar pekoi, and then he puts his hand into it up until his elbow. That's considered his yad, and obviously some of the water is going to spill out. So now the water is below the top line. What does he do next? V'shoikel basar chamar v'ginav atzamais, he weighs meat from a donkey, not just the meat, but also the sinews and the bones, and that's the same type as a person. And he puts in this meat of the donkey into this barrel until it fills up, meaning until it pushes the water up to the top, and however much that donkey meat weighs, again, including the bones and the sinews, so that's what he has to give to the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the same as the weight of his hand. However, Amar Rabbi Yezir says, that can't be. How is he able to be mechavin and say that this is exact, the meat corresponding to the meat and the bones corresponding to the bones? In other words, he holds donkey meat is totally different than a person's flesh and bones. El, rather, what's he supposed to do, says Rabbi Yezir? We just estimate how much the hand is supposed to weigh. However you do that, maybe take measurements of all the proportions of the body and see what percentage of the body it is and give that amount to the Beis HaMikdash, but we do not do this whole shtick with the barrel of water and the donkey meat, according to Rabbi Yossi. Now, the first mission of the Perek, the previous Mishnah, we discussed not a rachin, rather somebody who is donating a person's weight to the Beis HaMikdash and how that's cheshbined out, specifically when a person donates the weight of a hand. So now we're going to have something similar. Mishnah Beis tells us, demei yadi olai. Let's say a person promises that he's going to give the value of his hand, not the weight of his hand, but the value, how much it's worth. How do we decide how much a person's hand is worth? So Shamanai, we evaluate him as if he would be an Evid sold in the marketplace. Kamushava biyad, how much he would be worth with a hand, but Kamushava beloyad, how much he would be worth without a hand. And that difference is how much his hand is worth, and that's what he gives the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Zechayim Benadarim Barachin, this is a chomer that we find by regular neder over erech, because if a person says erech yadi olai, he doesn't have to give any money, because there's no such thing as an erech of a hand. But when a person says, I'm going to give the value of my hand, that's just a regular nether, so he does have to give the value of his hand. The Mishnah continues, V'chorim barachim nedarim ketzad, where's the chomer we find by erechin over nedarim? So that's how Omer erchi olai v'meis. If a person says that he's going to give his own erech, and then he dies, yitnu ha-yarshin, so his yarshim have to give that money, because since he has a set value that's given in the Torah says how much his fellow is worth, we don't need him to actually be here in order to decide how much he's worth. We already know how much he's worth, and therefore, even though he died, it doesn't make a difference, his yarshim have to pay that for him. However, if a person says domai olai v'meis, he says he's going to give his own value, not erech, but how much he's worth in the slave market, and then he dies, lo yitnu yarshim, his yarshim don't have to give anything, she'in dom l'meisim, because somebody who's dead doesn't have a value. Now, let's say a person said erech yadi v'erech ragli olai, the erech of my hand and erech of my foot are on me, so lo yimer kumi didn't say anything, because a hand and foot don't have an erech. However, if he says erech roishi v'erech kvedi olai, the erech of my head or the erech of my liver is on me, so nes an erech kulai, he would have to give his entire erech. And why is that? Because that is the rule. Davar shanashama tuluya bai nesan erech kulai. If he says erech of a body part, then neshama is tolu in it, which which means if he was missing that body part, he would be dead. So then he's basically saying that he's going to give his entire erech, and that's what he has to do. But if he just says his hand or foot, well, if a person's missing their hand or foot, they could still live, and therefore that's not considered an erech at all. On to Mishnah Gimel, similar cases. Let's say a person says, chatzi erkei olai, half of my erech is on me. So now chatzi erkei, he has to give half of his erech, because he's basically saying, I'm taking my entire erech, however much that is, and I'm just cutting it in half and donating it. So that's what he has to do. However, if he says, erech chatzi olai, I'm going to give erech of half of me, so nice and erech kulai, he has to give erech of his entire body. That's because we said in the previous Mishnah, if we're going to take half of the person's body, well, that's davar shana shama tuluya bai. If he's missing half of his body, obviously he's dead. So he's basically saying, I'm giving my entire erech. Similarly, let's say a person says, chatzi domi olai, I'm going to give half of my value on the slave market, so nice and chatzi domov, he has to give half of his value. Whereas if he says, demei chatzi olai, then the value of half of me is something I have to give, nice and demei kulai, he has to give the entire value. And once again, Zakal, this is the rule, says Mishnah, davar shana shama tuluya bai, nice and demei kulai. If the lashon that he's using has to do with a part of his body that his neshama is tali in, so he has to give the entire thing, and that's the same by erech or just by a regular neder. Mishnah Dal tells us ha'omer, if a person says erech shaplani olai, the erech of that fellow is on me, and then meis hanoider vehanidar, both the person who made the neder and the one who the neder was made on, both of them died, yet no yarshim, the yarshim have to pay that, and that's because we learned a couple mishnayos ago, since an erech has a set value, we don't need anyone here in order for that money to be paid, so the yarshim would have to pay it. Now let's say he says domav shaplani olai, that fellow's value, how much he would be sold in the slave market, that's how much I'm going to give to the Beis HaMikdash. So meis hanoider, if the one who made the neder died, yitnu hayarshim, the yarshim have to pay that up. And this is specifically referring to a situation where there was already a mida bedin, where they already started the process officially in Beis Din, figuring out how much he'd be chayv to pay. They still don't know how much he's chayv yet, but they already started the process. So even though the neder, the one who made the neder died, since the nidar, the one who the neder was made on, is still alive, so we could evaluate how much he's worth, so the yarshim would have to pay that. However, meis hanidar, if the fellow who's being evaluated died, lo yitnu hayarshim, the yarshim don't have to give anything, she'in dam lemesim, because there's no value to somebody who's dead. And now something similar just with karbonos. Mishnah Hay says, shar ze oila, if a person designates a particular animal, for example, a shar, as an oila, or he says, bai ze karbon, this house is a karbon, which means he's donating it to the Beis HaMikdash, and then mesa shar, that animal died, or v'nafal abayis, the house fell down, ein echav l'shalim, he doesn't have to pay anything, because the animal or house is not here anymore. However, if he says, demei shar ze olai oila, the value of this shar is on me, and I'm going to take that money and bring a karbon oila with it, oi, demei bai ze olai karbon, he says, the value of this house is on me as a karbon, so mesa shar v'nafal abayis, chayv l'shalim. If the shar died or the house fell down, he still has to pay because he said its value is on me, not the actual thing, so he still has to pay its value. And then she tells us, chayv erachim, if a person has to pay an erech that he made, memashkin my son, we're going to take a mashkin from them, the collateral from them. That's because they're not necessarily pressured to pay right away, so the gizbar, the treasurer of Hektish, will go to him, maybe go into his house, and take something of value from him until he pays up. Now, if something similar but different, chayav chatos hashamos, if a person has to bring a carbon chatos or asham, that's because they did a particular avera that requires them to bring this carbon, ein memashkin my son, there's no need to take a mashkin from them. That's because this is a chiyuv they have to bring right away in order to receive a kapara, so we don't have to be afraid that the person is going to delay it. However, chayav yoyos shlamim, a person has to bring a carbon oil or shlamim, maybe they promised or they donated it, so this is something that we are afraid that they're going to delay. Therefore, memashkin my son, we will take a mashkin from them in order to inspire them to bring it. But here's the emphasis, alfal b'she'in mischaper la'ed she'esratzet, it's not going to be mechaper for them until they want. In other words, they have to want to bring it from their own. If they decide, I'm not bringing this oil or shlamim, even if we're going to try to force them or take a mashkin from them, it still has to come from within them. They have to decide to bring it on their own. Shemer, because the pasuk says, lertzoinoi, for his will. What do we learn from here? Koifnoi sachiyemer roitzani, we force a person to do it until he says roitzani, that I want to. But until he says I want to, so it's not counted. And v'chinat o'er v'gitei nashim, the same thing is with a get. If a person has a chiyuv to give a get and he's not, koifnoi sachiyemer roitzani, we force him until he says I want to. We're going to start for the day, and pick up tomorrow with Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.